The night was quiet, almost too quiet. Though it was after midnight, it was a Friday night, and Friday nights were usually party nights, at least for those of us who were single and not working night shift. This section of Melbourne wasn't exactly Excitement City, but it did possess a nightclub that catered to both human and non-humans. And while it wasn't a club I frequented often, I loved the music they played, loved dancing along the street to it as I made my way home. But tonight, there was no music. No laughter. Not even drunken revelry. The only sound on the whispering wind was the clatter of the train leaving the station and the rumble of traffic from the nearby freeway. Of course, the club was a well-known haunt for pushers and their prey, and as such, it was regularly raided and closed by the cops. Maybe it had been hit again. So why was there no movement on the street? No disgruntled partygoers heading to other clubs in other areas? And why did the wind hold the fragrance of blood? I hitched my bag to a more comfortable position on my shoulder, then stepped from the station's half-lit platform and ran up the stairs leading to Sunshine Avenue. The lights close to the platform's exit were out, and the shadows closed in the minute I stepped onto the street. Normally, darkness didn't worry me. I am a creature of the moon and the night, after all, and well used to roaming the streets at ungodly hours. That night, though the moon rode toward fullness, its silvery light failed to pierce the thick cover of clouds. But the power of it shimmered through my veins, a heat that would only get worse in the coming nights. Yet it wasn't the closeness of the full moon that had me jumpy. Nor was it the lack of life coming from the normally raucous club. It was something else, something I couldn't quite put a finger on. The night felt wrong, and I had no idea why. But it was something I couldn't ignore. I turned away from the street that led to the apartment I shared with my twin brother and headed for the nightclub. Maybe I was imagining the scent of blood or the wrongness in the night. Maybe the club's silence had nothing to do with either sensation. But one thing was certain, I had to find out. It would keep me awake otherwise. Of course, curiosity not only killed cats, but it often took out inquisitive werewolves too. Or, in my case, half-wares. My nose for trouble caused me more grief over the years than I wanted to remember. Generally, my brother had been right by my side, either fighting with me or pulling me out of harm's way. But Roan wasn't home, and he couldn't be contacted. He worked as a guardian for the Directorate of Other Races, which was a government body that sat somewhere between the cops and the military. Most humans thought the Directorate was little more than a police force specializing in capture of non-human criminals, and in some respects, they were right. But the Directorate, both in Australia and overseas, was also a researcher of all things non-human, and its guardians didn't only capture, they had the power to be judge, jury, and executioner. I also worked for the Directorate, but not as a guardian. I was nowhere near ruthless enough to join their ranks as anything other than a general dog's body, though, like most of the people who worked for the Directorate in any capacity, I had certainly been tested. I was pretty damn happy to have failed, especially given that 80% of a guardian's work involved assassination. I might be part wolf, but I wasn't a killer. Roan was the only one in our small family unit who'd inherited those particular instincts. If I had a talent I could claim, it would be as a finder of trouble. Which is undoubtedly what I'd find by sticking my nose where it had no right to be. But would I let the thought of trouble stop me? Not a snowflake's chance in hell. Grinning slightly, I shoved my hands into my coat pockets and quickened my pace. My 4-inch heels clacked against the concrete, and the sound seemed to echo along the silent street. A dead giveaway, if there were problems ahead.